seated. You may be seated. Don't worry. I know that my wife just left right before I began to preach. It's not because she knows what's coming and is leaving for that reason. As you know, she preaches at another church, and the summer schedule is such that she has to leave at 10 o'clock. So you might be seeing that all summer, her getting up either right before I start or in the middle of my sermon. So I hope you won't take that as a sign of anything other than she needs to get to her other job. In any case, it is a delight to be here on this Graduate Sunday to share with all of you. I remember that graduate day, graduating from high school, being a seminal moment in my life. I would not have called it a Kairos moment back then, but I certainly would now. And what is a Kairos moment, you might be wondering? Well, we like to talk about different kinds of time. There's Chronos, chronology. That's just the ever-flowing, continuous roll waves of time that just goes on and on and on. Time, as they say, is undefeated, right? Father Time catches up to us all. We only have so much time because chronology continues to go. Well, a Kairos understanding of time is that there are moments, special moments. The Greek word Kairos talks about significant moments in life, those special moments. And as Christians, we've come to identify those special moments where God has intervened into the midst of our Chronos time. In the midst of chronology, there are those Kairos moments where God comes near. And if you think about the continuation of Chronos time and an influx of God's presence, well, that kind of makes a cross. And that moment where they connect, where God's time and our time come together, well, that's a moment that we call Kairos moment, a moment where God's presence is real. And that can be a particularly religious experience, or it could just be a moment that is significant, like graduating from high school or graduating from college or getting married or getting that first job, or it could be positive experiences like that, or it could be that diagnosis that you get where you walk in and they say, "I'm sorry to tell you, but your diagnosis is terminal." Or those moments where a relationship dissolves. Or those moments when you were told, "We no longer need your services here." Yeah. Kairos moments are those moments that are meaningful, that are impacted by not only the presence of God, but the need of God. I've been in a discipleship group for over a year now. I meet with pastors all over the country once a week for over a year, and now twice a month. These are pastors who are out west, down in Texas, pastors who are in North Carolina, pastors who are up north, all over. And you might be wondering, well, how do you meet? Well, we meet via Zoom or Skype. And we meet each week. And one of the main things we do is we talk about our Kairos moments in life. What's a Kairos moment that's happened for you, Dave? Or what's a Kairos moment that's happened for you, Ernie? Or what's a Kairos moment, Fran, that's happened for you? We talk together about those moments where God is intervening. And that could be my Kairos moment has been this wonderful experience. Or it could be, man, my Kairos moment is this difficult, desperate situation. Whatever it happens to be, the first thing that we do is just acknowledge that we've had a Kairos moment. And that's really probably the hardest thing to do. I would encourage you to think about your life and your chronology, and think about where you have witnessed God's intervention as a Kairos experience. Part of it is observing that has happened. Observing that we have indeed felt an experience that is different than all others. Now, once you observe that, I would encourage you to do this next step, because that's what we do in our group. The next thing we do is once we've observed it, then we discuss it. Because one of the most beautiful things is that you come together and discuss your moments, these moments where God has intervened into your life with another. Maybe it's a friend, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it is your church friends, perhaps it's your spouse, maybe it's your brother or sister, maybe it's a work friend. I don't know who it is, but you sit down and then acknowledge that we have had, that I have had this moment, I'd like to talk about it with someone. So you observe and then you reflect upon that with your friend and you discuss it. So you observe it, you reflect upon it, and you discuss it. And then what we do in our group is we move into a planning stage. Because then we say, well, how am I going to respond to that? How do you respond to that moment? You know, each of our young people who just graduated kind of told you their plans. You know? Nick is planning to study and then move on to Virginia Tech. Daniel, planning to study, move on to Roanoke. And Isaiah, he's just planning. I love it, you know, but the reality is we don't always know for sure, but we want to have kind of a plan. How do we react to this moment? Because each of those young people and each one of us that have ever graduated from anything know that you can't just stay there. You have to take a step and act, and that begins with at least some kind of plan. And so when you have a Kairos moment, we have a moment where God has intervened into your life. And once you've discussed it and you've reflected upon it with your friends and those who are special to you, those who can help you make sense of that moment, then you plan. Well, what am I going to do? And then, after you plan, you invite somebody to hold you accountable. You know, one of the things we don't always have in our lives is accountability. I need accountability in all manner of my life. I have enjoyed losing the weight that I've lost over the last 5 months or so. It's been fantastic, but you know what? On those nights when I'm like, you know, I don't have anybody really keeping me accountable, so ice cream looks really good. Or those moments where I'm like, you know, I've been really good this week. I can just continue to have 12 wings. I know I should only do 6, but I'm going to do 12, and then I'm going to eat the rest of Noah's, so 15 is probably fine. Right? Well, then you go and you look on that scale, right? And you're like, oh, God, what happened now? You know? And you realize that all this work that you put in, all this discipline, well, you know what? It's pretty easy to let it slide down because you haven't allowed yourself to be accountable. So what I do is I preach about my failures to all of you because now you guys can keep me accountable, right? See that? You see the master plan here? It's a great thing because now you guys know I've been slipping. What's that? It's not going to work? Okay. We'll see. But at least it's out there. So the point is we all need accountability. We all need people that are holding us accountable. And so whatever it is, in our relation with God, it's the same way. We relate to God. We've been connected. God has come near. God has come into our life. And we have observe that God has done this thing in our life, that this moment has occurred. We've reflected upon it. We've discussed it. We have a plan. We think we know what we want to do, but we need someone to help us hold accountable because if they do that, then the last thing that we are called to do is to act. And boom, that is the key. To act upon that which God has already done. Now, in our gospel lesson today, we see this wonderful story, you've probably heard it before, the healing of the son of the widow of Nain. But did you notice something particular about this one? A lot of them have moments where people come up to Jesus. Jesus, 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 help me, help me, help me. Jesus, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. But in here, notice, the widow never asked for a thing. All we are told is that Jesus had compassion for her. Because that's who our God is. That is how our God acts. Not just then, but now, in your life, today. You see, I would say that the healing of her son was a Kairos moment, wouldn't you? This experience of God's love and grace and power intervening into her life. And at that moment, they observed, they reflected, they talked about it, and then they planned and they acted. They started sharing this message of what God had done in their life. And brothers and sisters, our God is the same kind of God in your life today. Our Jesus will come into your life whether you ask for it or not sometimes. And I know from personal experience that when Jesus has entered my life when I wasn't really asking for it, those were the times I really needed it. Perhaps it's the same for you. Jesus will come to you. That is what God does. God looks with compassion on our experiences and our brokennesses, our frustrations, our shames. God looks with compassion on us as he did with the widow at Nain, and God intervenes into our life in those Kairos moments, and when they happen, may we have the faith to observe them. And when they do, take the time to find a friend or call your pastor or call a church friend or talk to your spouse and say, God's up to something right now in my life. Reflect upon it. Know that God does this. Discuss it. And then react. Respond in faith. Kairos moments happen throughout our life. They will come. They will come when we plead for them, and they will come, like for the widow at Nain, when we least expect it. But they will come. They will come because that is who our God is. The God who comes near. The Jesus who is not afraid of our brokenness or our pain or our sin. The Jesus who will come near into our lives and take our lives into something new. Just as he turned an instrument of torture into a sign of hope, he takes our lives and makes them his own. In Jesus' name, amen.